I'm with Arvind Gupta, head of the Digital India Foundation, former CEO of MyGov, and a digital czar, perhaps Prime Minister Narendra Modi's go-to digital person. Arvind, welcome to the print.
Thank you, Jyoti, for having me, and I look forward to this discussion.
Thank you. Arvind, my first question to you is about the ban, the government's ban on these 59 Chinese apps, including TikTok, WeChat, Weibo. And my question is this happening? Is this a message to the Chinese government in the wake of the clash in Ladakh between Indian soldiers and Chinese?
I think, first let's, Jyoti, if I can give you a little background and then build upon why this has happened and why now, right? Really, then that's your question. So you have to understand, we are living in a data and digital age where from the earlier times where natural resources, human resources, military power really gave, along with your soft power like culture and food and everything else, gave a country its strength. Today, a lot of strength comes from the data and digital prowess and technology, which is looking at the future.
Okay.
And if you see the top 10 companies in the world, they are all dominated by, no longer by oil companies, no longer banks, but mostly dominated by data and digital companies, be it Amazon, Apple, Google, Tencent, Alibaba, all of those. Now, in that era, what the Chinese have been doing is a model that they basically close their economy. They have this so-called Chinese firewall where no other companies can actually go and operate there. Mm-hmm. And they build these massive platforms in China, which then raises money in capital markets, both in China, outside China, and in the US. And then they use that money both to, progress their own platforms, like in countries like India, and also use that money to buy, controlling stake investments in many other ventures. Now, this has been part of China's outreach, much like their OBOR, project. This is equivalent to their OBOR, the China Silk Route projects in importance. And what we have to understand, most of these platforms, we must say, which is the Baidu, ByteDance, Alibaba, Tencent, are somewhere, and the 5G players like Huawei, ZTE, whosoever you take, they have some kind of a dotted link or association with the Chinese Communist Party. So state control is very high. They have state sponsorship. And with that state sponsorship, they really become very big. Mm-hmm. Now, coming to what happened. And, they have been, the background of this is that they have been in the past really making a choice. If they were neutral platforms or platform when they operate in India, they make sure that they're taking care of Indian national interests. That's not been the case. They've been found many times violating national security issues. They've been using data of unsuspecting citizens.
They've been found violating national security issues in the past as well. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, location sensitivity. And see, you have to understand a lot of these platforms, you and me sometimes don't even know they exist on our phones if the phone is of Chinese manufacturing. And they come pre-bundled. A lot of these things come pre-bundled with the phone. While you look at some of these new age things like TikTok, but if you analyze UC News, UC Browser, MI players and a list of 59 that have been banned, you'll realize that a lot of these apps come kind of packaged with the phone that you buy. Mm-hmm. And, Chinese phones probably occupy 60% of the Indian market today. And with that, a lot of people have these apps as a default on their phones.
Let me stop you right here. We are an open society. We're a democracy. And if that distinguishes us from China, you just said that.
Absolutely.
Don't allow Google or various other companies to come into their country and they want to control information. But India is not like that. You don't want to be another China, right?
We don't. We have never wanted to control information, but we have a right to control misinformation. When the Chinese state has access to a lot of sensitive citizen information, location information, and all these applications have the potential to be weaponized into a misinformation agent into all this 50-60 crore smartphones of India, that is where they become dangerous.
But give me an example. Explain to me, to all our viewers, what that really means. How can I own a Xiaomi phone? How can I become an agent for misinformation?
Absolutely. Now, that's a good question, because now what happens is, let's see, first of all, consider a news which is curating news on one of these platforms. I mean, you see news being curated by everybody, being popped to you, fed to you. Now you imagine you are in the hinterland of India, you get news every day, and you're in the border area, you're getting a news that India's soldiers being beaten left, right, and center. India, you know, concedes thousands of kilometers of land to China. And this is happening constantly. And, you know, and this news is being sourced from unknown portals or some, you know, Chinese propaganda agents, and being fed.
Now on the Ladakh clashes?
It could be happening. It has been happening in the past. And in this case also, it has happened. They take information which is suited to the Chinese interest and promote it, prioritize it in the curation of the news. This is one example. It has happened in the past in Doklam.
When did it happen?
In Doklam. It happened during the Doklam crisis. It happened, that's why when the defense personnel was stopped from using those 44 apps in 2017, we saw a misuse of this, of location-sensitive information during the Pathankot attack, where location was leaked. See, you can today, knowing location, knowing what you read, what you do, you can really predict a lot of behavior. And that's where the Chinese machinery is very strong. You keep hearing about Chinese AI being the most advanced. And they are using all this data to their advantage. So suppose they see suddenly 500 or, you know, 50 people in the morning, 4 a.m. in the morning, moving towards a sensitive Air Force location, they actually know that some activity is happening.
Yeah.
And they have made sense out of that in the past and shared it with India's other enemies. So
you're saying that Pathankot, it happened during Pathankot and during Doklam.
We've seen that behavior in the past, you know, and that behavior in the past has been flagged to them that this is a suspecting behavior. We don't want it to continue.
And
now what has happened in the recent past is what you have to see, that they have been caught doing activities, and when they're caught doing, you know, trading on iPhone, for example, TikTok was caught copying or accessing information that it should not be. Then when Apple researchers caught them, they said, yes, we are doing this wrong. We'll fix it in the future. They never fixed it. So a lot of this malicious behavior has been attributed to them.
But that was Apple, Arvind. It was not an Indian organization. I mean, until now.
It's an Apple phone. It's an Apple phone. It's the same.
The Apple.
So Jyoti, just hear me out. The point is that there are these backdoors. Indian agencies have also found it. You asked me for some examples. I gave you some examples. I can keep giving you a lot more examples. The point being that there is a lot of backdoors and malicious activity potential that a lot of these apps have. And they've exploited that. Now comes to the second part. You talked about India being a democracy. Of course, we are a democracy. And we encourage, and we have given them warnings in the past. And, you know, they've addressed a few. They've probably not addressed a lot. The bigger challenge is, while they have legal, reporting in India, when they operate in India, you have to know that ultimately, they, by Chinese law, they are responsible to share every information of every activity that is stored in their servers with Chinese government, the state of China, whenever it's required. That is not the case with any other platform that we use. And that is what makes it the scary part. And that's what we have to recognize. And when we have found instances of that happening, always it has been, yes, it's a problem on our end, we'll fix it. Mm-hmm. And now I think it was the right time to make sure that that is now not being going to be used in the future against India. That's why India took a very, 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 very...
Are you linking it to the Ladakh clashes? Are you linking it to this security related to...
I personally believe it has been brewing for a time. It is not just the Ladakh clashes that prompted it. And if that acted as a catalyst, I think it's the right time that it happened. It's high time it happened. It should have happened long back. you talk to any of the non-Chinese players and platforms, they'll tell you that it's a very, very unfair advantage. So one is the national security and sovereignty aspect. The other is the non-level playing field, being pre-bundled into applications, pumping in a lot of money, which is, you know, which makes it predatory in nature from a pricing perspective, a lot of other issues. But the bigger issue, I think, in the current circumstance was that, number one, the citizens' data, which could lead it to potentially for misinformation campaigns, weaponizing of information, and two, the issues of security and sovereignty and public good at large. So I think, I must say that if the Ladakh crisis prompted it and made it a catalyst, I think it's a very, very welcome.
So tell me something. You said that a lot of the phones, for example, come bundled with these apps, and therefore they have access to, say, location and other citizen information. Now, does this mean that, you know, that these Chinese phones, and a lot of them are very cheap and very price sensitive in a market like ours, that these phones will also be banned?
I don't see the hardware still probably needs to now realign themselves, given that the software layer, hardware by itself, I mean, I don't want to get into the technicality of it, but hardware by itself, the operating system by itself, do certain things, but mostly they depend on applications to do bulk of the activity, a bulk of the processing, image processing and other things. So I think with these apps getting banned, that capability goes away from them. The phones become a lot more safer. And also, you know, they will now be under more self-restraint to make sure that there are no pre-bundling of applications that are happening with them. And whatever goes on now on their respective Play Stores or applications that come with phones, they will have to pass a much higher scrutiny and a much higher test. But again and again, Jyoti, I'm saying that don't think this is just a ban on these 59 apps. It's an important step that India has taken to ensure its data sovereignty, given the new data and digital age we are in. I think we shouldn't underline that. And second aspect that we shouldn't forget is that when you talk about the Ladakh crisis, we also saw CERT issuing statements that we are thinking, or we are seeing a trend in phishing attacks, a lot of cyber attacks happening in India. Australia faced a lot of cyber attacks. Singapore faced similar attacks. So I think when I say weaponizing of these phones, a lot of small things can be done which can create havoc in our digital payment systems and in our e-commerce and many other things. I mean, phishing attacks can steal passwords and banking information and pretend to be somebody else and steal people's money. So there is a lot of potential for creating chaos. And this is also preempting that, and the cyber, you saw the cyber warning about 2 weeks ago. So this is preventing that also.
So two questions from that. The first is that has India encountered any of these phishing attacks or any of these other threats? Have Indian agencies encountered? And the second question is about Prime Minister Narendra Modi's account on Weibo being deleted. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
See, the Indian agencies have warned many times in the past. Department of Defense has made carrying any of the phones from Chinese manufacturers, banned on that, prevented people from using it. There's many warnings that have happened across the platform from 2014 onwards till now, 2020. Mm-hmm. Prime Minister Modi, of course, followed the moment the CERT and Ministry of IT released the advisory on that all these 59 apps, which included Weibo, that the PM was himself present on, being a very prolific social media user. He also went, he showed his desire to delete all the posts that he had made in the past in Chinese language and you know, while dealing with the Chinese in terms of the Twitter or the Weibo diplomacy. Yeah. And I think the fact that he also went off the platform is a very strong signal that this is a very long-term ban, and he's clear that this is he doesn't want to be where the China, you know, where which is not allowed by his country as an access to his normal citizens. So I think he sent a very, very strong signals both to Chinese to the Indian citizens that he stands behind this ban.
So the question is, why is this being limited only to the Chinese? Are you saying that just the Chinese apps are a threat? Or is it that something has happened in the relationship? Because after all, when
Well, that's another very, very good question, Jyoti. It's just not the Chinese apps which are a threat. You saw a company called WeTransfer. And why this is a very important question is it was all these 59 apps got bundled as Chinese apps. And they got, you know, they got bucketed together because they were being probably being studied from a security aspect in a very different, you know, different aspect. But about a month ago, there's a company called WeTransfer that had a similar ban because they were doing something which was not desired. So they were banned in a similar manner. And this is a very ongoing process. A lot of time companies, you know, the CERT and the Ministry of IT under various section keeps, issuing warnings, advisories, and as well as takedown orders. So this is an ongoing process. This is not a one-time activity. And of course, for the 59 apps, it became like being clubbed together, but there's a lot of warning that has gone into them. And you see, again, I repeat myself that there is at least two sets of advisories that the MHA and DoD had issued about the usage of these apps. So at various levels, to sensitive personals, to you know people who had national security clearance. So there has been a background to this.
But lots of political parties, including the BJP, have been using TikTok to promote.
Yeah, as I said, everybody has been using it. They are not security researchers or security experts. As long as the platform is available, they'll go on it and they will keep using it. But the moment there is an advisory against it, as in most of the things in our life, we will go off it. And that's what the political parties have done, chief ministers have done, the government of India has done, PIB has done. Everybody will follow those same rules.
So, Arvind, you've been very closely involved with the digital transformation of India these last 6 years that the BJP has been in power and PM Modi has been Prime Minister. When we look at platforms like Paytm, for example, you know, which have a huge Chinese investment. Now, it's an Indian company, but it has, you know, Jack Ma, who's a member of the Chinese Communist Party, has invested in Paytm. Now, what would you say to that?
See, 2 points, and then I'll come to address that question. Number one, I also want to address the point that most of these 59 apps, if you take bulk of them, I mean, maybe over 50, I don't know the exact number, don't even have Indian offices. Okay. They've been operating remotely and they have really very little, by virtue of being pre-bundled onto the phones, they have made a reach. So they have zero offices. If at all they had offices in India, they were doing India for global English language support.
They don't employ very many people.
I think also this will lead to a boost of the Indian digital ecosystem, which is what I am relating your question to now. Mm-hmm. Whether you talk about Paytm or other companies where there is investment of the of Alibaba, which basically owns UC Browser, by the way. Yeah. I think the companies will have to decide for themselves whether they exercise control, the investors exercise control or the founders exercise control. Mm-hmm. And whether they serve the Indian consumer and the Indian country, or they serve legally the Indian country or not. So they will have to decide that, because otherwise the consumers are going to leave them and go to another option. There are many options. Paytm also has tons of other options today. It's not that Paytm is the only option in the digital wallets and the payment space. So that will apply to anybody. If you are going to
advise Paytm, what would you advise Paytm to do?
I it's not my job to advise Paytm or anybody else. But as I said, you have to take care of the Indian consumer, the Indian interests, if you operate in India, and that should be primary. If your control and governance is in India, the money can be from anywhere. It's not about the money. It's more about the control and governance and your prioritization of a country and the reporting into that country as long as you operate there within the legal framework.
So two questions. One is that TikTok and other Chinese companies have also donated money to the PM CARES Fund. Now, TikTok has donated 30 crore rupees. I mean, it may be a drop in a very vast ocean, but it's there. So what happens now?
Well, number one, it shows, my take is very, very independent view of this. Number one, it shows there is no quid pro quo here. I mean, it's a great example of there is no quid pro quo. You pay, you don't pay, you know, the law of the land or national priorities will remain national priorities. Two, I think TikTok, whether they crowdsource the money or whether they took it from their employees, most of their employees happen to be Indian, and they continue to be Indian employees. They may not remain TikTok employees, but they'll continue to be Indians. So they have a right to contribute to a relief and a welfare fund for Indians. So those would be my views. I think, this is a government that has many times said the same thing, that, you know, there is no quid pro quo. So okay. TikTok should know that very well.
Thank you so much for your time, and please subscribe to the Prince YouTube channel. Thank you again. Thank you for your time.